you, Richard. The reading today, as we have been forewarned, is Psalm number 136. This psalm is a responsive psalm, and if we look when it comes up, thanks, Mark, you'll see the bold is the response, and I'll ask for the congregation, please, if you could respond, I'll do the easy bit. Psalm 136. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
His love endures forever.
Give thanks to God, to the God of gods.
His love endures forever.
Give thanks to the Lord of lords.
His love endures forever.
To him who alone does great wonders. Who by his understanding made the heavens.
His love endures forever.
Who spread out the earth upon the waters.
His love endures forever.
Who made the great lights.
His love endures forever.
The sun to govern the day.
His love endures forever.
The moon and the stars to govern the night.
His love endures forever.
To him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt. And brought Israel out from among them.
His love endures forever.
With a mighty hand and an outstretched arm.
His love endures forever.
To him who divided the Red Sea asunder.
His love endures forever.
And brought Israel through the midst of it.
His love endures forever.
But swept Pharaoh and his army into the Red Sea.
His love endures forever.
To him who led his people through the wilderness.
His love endures forever.
To him who struck down great kings.
His love endures forever.
And killed mighty kings.
His love endures forever.
Shihon, king of the Amorites.
His love endures forever.
And Og, king of Bashan.
His love endures forever.
And gave their land as an inheritance.
His love
An inheritance to his servant Israel.
His love endures forever.
He remembered us in our low estate.
His love endures forever.
And freed us from our enemies.
His love endures forever.
He gives food to every creature.
His love endures forever.
Give thanks to God of heaven.
Thank you, Greg, for leading us in that. It was quite funny this week as I was reading through the commentaries on this psalm. One of the commentators said, by the time you've said his love endures forever 26 times, you start to wonder if the psalm will as well. And it can feel a little bit like that, can't it? You say the same words over and over again. But we need to understand that refrain, his love endures forever, is in here for a reason. And this psalm has been given to us for a reason. And so we're just going to spend some time this morning opening up this psalm, looking at it, meditating on it, and hearing the words that God would like to say to us. So please pray with me before we dive into it. Heavenly Father, your love endures forever. We know that this psalm has been sung for thousands of years, and it contains a great truth, a precious truth. Please, Father, as we come this morning with ears open and hearts ready, we pray that you would reveal this truth to us, and we pray that it would break into our lives and our hearts, into our everyday. We pray particularly, Father, as we come to the end of one year and the beginning of another, that you would use this psalm to help us reorient ourselves towards you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. What is it about God's love that makes it good news for our world? Last year, I had the opportunity to spend a few weeks in Turkey. And during that time, I joined in with a group of Christian students at one of the local universities over there. And one evening, during one of their social outreach events, I got into a conversation with a Muslim student that was there for the very first time. And I noticed at one point he wasn't eating. And so I asked him if he was celebrating Ramadan. And he was. And so this led to a conversation about fasting and about prayer. And I asked him why he prayed as a Muslim, and he asked me why I prayed as a Christian. I also shared a little bit about Easter, which was coming up that Sunday, and he shared a little bit about Eid, which is a festival that they were celebrating in a few weeks' time. And there soon came a point during our conversation when he remarked to me, "We're not that different after all, are we? You have Christianity and I have Islam. Believing in our God gives us both peace and meaning." And if I'm completely honest, when he said those words, I was thrown. I struggled to think of a reply. I know that the God of the Bible is nothing like the God of Islam, but I was struggling to articulate how exactly they were different. Our religions seemed so similar on the surface. The things that we did were so similar. I was struggling to pinpoint exactly what it is about my God's love that makes it good news for our entire world, even for this Muslim student I was talking to. But I think after coming back to Australia, I realised that this is a dilemma that doesn't just exist overseas in Buddhist or Hindu or Muslim countries. We actually face this dilemma every day here in Australia too. As our country has slowly become more and more secular, religion and faith of any kind has actually been a bit smushed into one big clump. People aren't too concerned about what each religion believes or the specific nuances between them. In most Australian minds, all religions are essentially the same. They all boil down to some version of love others, do good, treat others how you'd like to be treated. For most Australians, Christianity is just one of many religions that offer essentially the same thing. But this is not what the Bible tells us is true of God. The Bible speaks of one true God whose love and grace is good news for our world. It speaks of our God whose love is utterly unique. Psalm 136 is an ode to this love of God. It's the only psalm in the entire Bible with a line that repeats all the way through, that line that we just said 26 times, "His love endures forever." Psalm 136, from beginning to end, is designed to rouse God's people to speak back to him the truths that we know. It commands God's people to acknowledge his love for us and to give him thanks and praise. So as we work through Psalm 136, this ode to God's love, we're going to keep asking the question, what is it about God's love that makes it worthy of such praise? What is it about God's love that makes it good news for our world? What should I have said to that Muslim student when I sat across from him all the way over in Turkey? Well, keep your Bibles open in front of you if you have them, as we begin with verse 1 of our psalm. As Matt mentioned earlier, Psalm 136 begins with a repeated command to praise God for his goodness and his love. And we aren't just told one time, but we're told three times in verses 1 to 3 to give thanks. And this word translated as give thanks can actually also mean to confess or to acknowledge. We're told here to confess to God all the things that we know are true about his character and his love. I wonder sometimes if we get a little bit stuck in our prayers, trying to think of ways to praise God. I myself actually find praise the hardest bit of prayer. I keep rushing to kind of ask God for things or thank God for things, and my mind just goes blank when I try and put my experience of God into words. But verse 1 of this psalm could just as easily be translated, "Confess to the Lord that he is good." Sometimes praise is simply the act of speaking back to God all the things that we know are true about him. We can speak of his character, we can speak of his power, and we can speak of things that he has done for us or his people in the past. And God delights when he hears us speak these truths back to him. And this is exactly what Psalm 136 does. In three broad movements, from verses 4 to 22, this psalm confesses back to God all the ways that he has shown his love to his people. So if we look at the first movement in verses 4 to 9, we see that God's first great act of love was at creation. Creation itself was an act of love. I think sometimes we can get it in our heads that God is only God because he has people to worship him. If he didn't have people, he wouldn't be God. Sometimes we can think that God somehow needs us to complete his godly identity. But God did not need to create the world. He didn't need to make humanity. He is completely and sufficiently God without us. Instead, God created the world as an arena for his love. He created humanity to receive and return his love. God's first great act of love was at creation. And this does deserve our praise. And next, in verses 10 to 15, we see God's love displayed in redemption. If there's one event that looms largest in the entire Old Testament, it has to be the Exodus. That great moment when God set free the descendants of Abraham who were trapped in slavery under the Egyptians and when they were completely helpless to save themselves. And this psalm pictures the Exodus as if God reached down from his throne in heaven and personally plucked his people out of harm's way. Just look at verse 12 again. It describes God using his mighty hand and outstretched arm. And with it, God acted to strike down the Egyptians. He pulled his people out of Egypt. He divided the Red Sea, and he swept Pharaoh and his army away. The same love that caused God to create the world led him to rescue his people when they could not rescue themselves. God's love stretches all the way from creation to redemption. But God's love does not finish at redemption. The final movement of our psalm from verses 16 to 22 speaks of God's great love in providing a home for his people. After the Israelites had been freed from slavery in Egypt, God led them through the wilderness to the land of Canaan. And there God fought against the kings of the land and defeated them. These were not innocent people minding their own business. These were proud and powerful men like Sihon and Og who refused to acknowledge God's kingship. If they had put their faith in God, they would have been spared. But since they did not, God removed them from the land so that his people could live in a kingdom of peace and safety. In three sweeping movements, this psalm confesses that out of love, God created the world. Out of love, God rescued his people from Egypt. And out of love, God brought them to a safe place that they could call home. God's love stretches all the way from creation to redemption, to provision. Psalm 136 is an ode to God's love. It's a psalm praising God for what he has done for his people. But it's also a psalm that's grounded in the very, very distant past, isn't it? As wonderful as this story of creation, redemption, and provision is, it's not our story. These things happened over 3,000 years ago. Yes, God showed his people great love back then, but what is it about God's love that makes it good news for our world today? Why should we join in with the words of this psalm? How could it possibly be relevant to us? Well, even though we've looked at verses 1 to 22 of our psalm, we've really only looked at half of it, because we haven't looked at that refrain yet, that line that we spoke 26 times. His love endures forever. And I believe that it's this refrain that we find the good news of God's love for all people across all generations. So I'm going to teach you all some Hebrew. Now, anyone who's a regular here at Dixon will know that I love Hebrew. So I'm going to be indulgent and teach you all a Hebrew word. I'm going to teach you the Hebrew word that is here translated as love. This word is hesed. You may have heard it before. It's quite a popular one. So can everyone say it for me? Hesed.
Hesed.
Very good. Now I'm also going to teach you how to pronounce it correctly. And so everyone get your throats ready, because you actually have to get a bit of a ch sound, all right? Right at the back of your throat. So it's pronounced hesed. Can everyone have a go?
Hesed.
Ooh, that's good. You guys are great. Now you don't actually have to say chesed, you can just say hesed, but I wanted to hear you guys try, so you did very well. Now if you could only learn one word of Hebrew, hesed should be it. This word hesed refers to a very specific type of love. When it's used in the Bible, it refers to a faithful, loyal love. The kind of love that is found in a covenant agreement between two parties. It's not just a passing feeling or a sentiment. Hesed is an active love. It's a love that's born of commitment and promise. Hesed, especially when it comes from God, cannot be broken, it cannot be shaken, and it cannot be corrupted. God's hesed never fails. And because this faithful covenant love never fails, it also endures forever. It can't run out, and it never expires. God's love has no end. And what makes this love good news for our world is actually the stuff that this psalm doesn't say, the stuff that Psalm 136 leaves out. When God saved the Israelites from slavery in Egypt, they didn't even know who he was. When Moses came across God in the burning bush, he had to clarify which God he was speaking to. And then even after God had redeemed the Israelites and led them out of Egypt, they spent 40 years in the wilderness grumbling and rebelling against God and turning to other false gods for help instead. It got so bad that at one point they wanted to go back to Egypt. They wanted out. And even when they got to the land of Canaan, how did they react? With fear. They saw the people of the land and they had no faith whatsoever that God could protect them. God did not redeem and provide for the Israelites because they were faithful to him. He didn't show love to them because they did all the right things to earn his favor. Psalm 136 says nothing at all about the people's obedience or disobedience. God is the central character. And God's love towards the Israelites had nothing to do with their performance. It was solely grounded in his covenant promises to Abraham. Once God gives his covenant love to a people, that love is there to stay. It endures forever. That is the good news of God's love for our world. No matter how far we fall into rebellion or apathy, no matter how steeped we are in sin or how much we run to idols to give us satisfaction, if we have entered into a covenant relationship with God, we are the recipients of a love that endures forever. And have a look at how Psalm 136 ends. Now look with me at verse 23. He remembered us in our low estate. His love endures forever. And freed us from our enemies. His love endures forever. He gives food to every creature. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of heaven. His love endures forever. This psalm ends with us. Did you notice how the psalm talks all the way through of them, the people of Israel, all those years ago? It speaks in third person. But from verse 23, it switches to us, to first person. He remembered us in our lowest state and freed us from our enemies. This psalm is a psalm for every generation of God's people. We can say the words of this psalm today because we are also the recipients of a love that endures forever. God has made a covenant with the entire world through the blood of his son, Jesus. This is the covenant that all other covenants were leading to. And this covenant cannot be broken, it cannot be shaken, and it cannot be corrupted because God has made this covenant with his own blood. The night before Jesus was crucified, he shared a Passover meal with his disciples. And this is how he explained what his death was about to do. This is from Matthew's gospel. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body." Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink from this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Jesus came to earth to redeem humanity from sin and death and to lead us to a new home in the kingdom of God. As Jesus hung on the cross with his lifeblood slowly draining from his body, God was writing a new covenant with his world. Through Jesus' blood, we receive free and full forgiveness for any and every sin. Through Jesus' death, we are spared the judgment for our rebellion and our betrayal. And through Jesus' resurrection, we are given new life so that we can live forever with him in his kingdom. Through the blood of Jesus, God has written a new covenant with the world. And through this covenant, we are the recipients of a love that endures forever. Romans 5 reminds us, God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's why we can say the words of Psalm 136 as if they are our own. God has remembered us in our low estate. He has freed us from sin and death. Nothing we have ever done has made us deserve this, but God has done this out of his faithful, unshakable love. That is the gospel. That is the good news of God's love for our world. At the very beginning, I made the observation that in the mind of most Australians, all religions are essentially the same. They all boil down to some version of love others, do good, treat others how you'd like to be treated. In the Australian mind, you can be a good person with or without religion. There's nothing special that Christianity offers. But this is simply not true. And I actually don't think being a Christian makes you immune to that kind of thinking that the world has. Life is busy and unpredictable. Unexpected things happen. It's so easy for us to go days, weeks, maybe even months without spending any time with God or opening his word. And in these dry seasons, it's so easy to slip into apathy, to just go through the motions, to just do what we know, to turn up each Sunday, to be a good person, to treat others how we'd like to be treated. There have been seasons like this for me when I've continued loving others, doing good, treating others kindly, but all the while I've been completely unmoved by God's love for me. And I'd say most of us have experienced seasons like this. But my brothers and sisters, God's love for you is too valuable to be relegated to second place. It is too precious to be replaced by just moral living and going through the motions. God's love expressed to us through Jesus does not deserve our apathy. It's a love so pure and so faithful that it is good news for our world. It's good news for us, even if we've heard it 1,000 times. Remember, God did not need to create the world. He made us so he could love us. He wants us to love him in return. And if you're sitting here today and you know all of this and your heart is bursting with thankfulness for God's love, then praise God. Hold on to that and nurture it. Share it with others. Lift up someone else who is not in that place. But if you're sitting here today and you do feel spiritually numb or empty, or you're unaffected by God's love for you, if you read Psalm 136 and you feel nothing, please don't give up. Somehow, by some small means, find a way back to that place of joy and thankfulness. And that doesn't have to look like locking yourself away for a daily quiet time if that doesn't work for you. You could just spend 5 minutes each day this week reading through Psalm 136 again. And if reading doesn't work, you could try listening to a part of the Bible. You could even listen to a song or a podcast that talks about God's love. You could read a book which highlights the beauty of what Jesus did for us on the cross. That's my plan in January. You could also pray and tell God how you are feeling. You could ask him to show you his love in some new way. And if you find these things hard on your own, you can meet up with a friend to do any or all of these things. Psalm 136 was not written to be said alone. It's written as a call and response. for an entire congregation to speak to one another. In a world that is so apathetic towards God's love, sometimes we need to remind one another that it is good news for us. And so rather than finish this sermon by praying, as I normally do, we're actually going to finish it by praying again together. We're going to pray the words of Psalm 136, and we're going to give thanks to God for his faithful love, which endures forever. We're going to give thanks for what he has done for us in Jesus. And my hope is that as we pray this psalm together, whether we're spiritually full or spiritually empty, we can encourage one another with the precious good news of God's love for us. And so as we pray these words together, I'm actually going to get this middle section here. Can you guys pray the first part of each line? And then everyone on the wings and in the balcony, can you do the response, his love endures forever? Does that sound good? And don't worry too much about timing. I don't care if everyone's out of time. Think more about saying it in a way that is meaningful to you. Does that make sense? All right. And hopefully after 26 times of saying his love endures forever, we are still thankful for it. All right. So I'm going to stay here and help you for the first few, and then I'm going to jump down and join. All right. So let's take it away.
Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.